Thank you, worship team. Good morning, CB First. Morning to those of you in here, out on the patio, and watching at home on Facebook. Quick update, Pastor John is doing better. He's had some ups and downs this week, but he certainly was hoping to be able to be here this morning. But he still needs to rest up. So continue praying for him, praying for Tish, praying for his mom, Marilyn, that he gets well soon. All right, so this morning we're continuing our break from the book of Luke. And last week I started Hebrews chapter 11. And so today we're going to finish Hebrews chapter 11. So if you want to open your Bible now to Hebrews 11, we're going to start in verse 17. But I want to recall for us from last week, I shared this verse, and it comes from Hebrews 10. It's verse 38. And it's this reminder for us that says, "But my righteous one will live by faith. And if he draws back, I have no pleasure in him." So this morning, we're going to continue to be reminded of that faith and the faith of our Old Testament saints and how that faith required an immense amount of sacrifice in their lives. The same sacrifice is required of us. We live in a time where itching ears are more easily satisfied than ever. There's so many quote-unquote representatives of the gospel out there proclaiming that having a good job, having fun times, as long as you love Jesus, you don't have to go to church. You don't have to attend Bible studies. You don't have to serve because your schedule is already so busy. You don't have to give up anything you have or are doing that you can have your best life now and have Jesus. And if you don't surrender fully to his lordship, it's okay. No, church, that's not the gospel. Our best life is Jesus. And we are so overwhelmed with this message because more now than ever, we are at our fingertips can hear these things through social media, right? Through our phones. So I pray this morning is a time of continued blessing as we see the testimonies of those that have come before and sacrificed everything for Christ. And so this reminder from our time last week, right, that living by faith produces righteousness, right? When we live by faith, we become sold out for Jesus, and that produces righteousness within us. But there has to be a level of obedience. A.W. Tozer says, "The Bible recognizes no faith that does not lead to obedience, nor does it recognize any obedience that does not spring from faith. The two are opposite sides of the same coin." And so from that, sacrifice is produced in us. That as we strive in our faith to be obedient, sacrifice must be the result. Let me pray for us this morning as we get into Hebrews 11. Father God, we praise your name this morning. Lord, that we can gather as the body of Christ here in the sanctuary or out on the patio or even on Facebook, Lord, that we can gather and we can praise your name. Lord, I pray this morning that our time is glorifying to you and that we come away more on fire for your gospel. In your name we pray, amen. All right, so one thing that I want to kind of start us with is this idea, is that living by faith calls to us to step out of our comfort zones. Living by faith calls to us to step out of our comfort zones. Does anyone in here have a comfort zone? We all do. It's okay. You can raise your hand. We all have a comfort zone. And that's our space, right? That's the space where, like, hey, we love being in our comfort zones. But the thing about the gospel, the thing about God, is he says, you know what? I'm your comfort zone. And so when you draw close to me, when you are focused on me, that's where I need you to be. Not in this space that you've created for yourself. And that's hard. That's hard for us to grasp because, trust me, I have a comfort zone and I enjoy it greatly. But that doesn't work with this because God has called us out. And so we see this continuation here in Hebrews 11, starting in verse 17. And it draws us back to Abraham, right? And so just some reminders, right, from Abraham. Is Abraham passed his faith, right, onto his family? That's not always simple. It takes a great deal of sacrifice to say, you know what, we're going to give up on these things, and I'm going to focus on my family here. Right? His faith was tenacious. It was steadfast. He did not break in that. He remained in that faith, which also takes sacrifice. And that faith pointed him beyond this world to his heavenly home. Stepping out in faith does not require perfection or mean you will not stumble along the way. Stepping out in faith does not require perfection or mean you will not stumble along the way. Time and time again, Abraham stepped out in faith as he was called by God. But remember Abraham's journey. He did not always do the right thing, but he remained faithful to following God. Oftentimes, we don't do things because our fear of messing up. Who's ever messed up? We all have. We allow ourselves, when we mess up, to stop us sometimes and say, I'm not gonna continue. Or the idea of just messing up says, you know what, I can't do this. We have this moment in Abraham's life, illustrated here in Hebrews 11, of him being called to sacrifice his son. How difficult would that be? I can't really sympathize even with this because I've never been put in that position. But God said, you know what, Abraham, I've worked in your life and I need you to do this. And Abraham's faith meant that he trusted. And so we have this moment, right? This was supposed to be the first sacrifice among many, offering his one and only son. John 3:16 tells us, right? For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son, so that anyone who believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. I don't want us to miss this connection here, right? Isaac, as an only son, was to be sacrificed, but was returned to Abraham, which restored life to that promise that God had made to him, that he would be the father among nations. This moment was God was pointing us towards was that what was to come, of things that are going to be happening, right? Because God was able to raise someone from the dead. Isaac was the firstborn of nations, but the one and only son, Jesus, went on to be sacrificed. He was the king of all nations. So Abraham shows us in the midst of inner conflict what it means to be tested and how our response to that testing should be. He knew God was faithful and he had made him this promise. I don't know about you, any parents in here, but if God said, hey, I need you to sacrifice your kids. I'd be like, sorry, God, I'm out. That's a hard position to be put in. But we see from the life of Abraham, right, that he was tenacious because he knew he served a faithful God. And we see that his good works are justified in his faith, as our faith without works is dead. James 2, 21 to 24 says this, "Wasn't Abraham, our father, justified by works in offering Isaac his son on the altar? You see that faith was active together with his works, and by works, faith was made complete. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he was called God's friend." You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. We can believe all we want, but if our faith does not drive us to do good, as God defines it, how deep is that faith? Then we see here in this passage in Hebrews, as the testimonies keep rolling of Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. And our emphasis here is about the faith of Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph that they showed at the end of their lives. They each faced looming death in confident faith and trusted, submitted, believed, and obeyed. I may have shared this story in the past. I don't recall, so if I did, forgive me. But I remember the first church I served in. I started there as an intern. I was 19 years old. And if any of you are watching, I'm sorry. I was a young, squirrely guy. But I remember the senior pastor there had an effect on me that I haven't been able to replicate in all these years of just being a wonderful discipler and mentor. And I knew that anything going on in life, I could go to him and he would give such wisdom and insight and speak truth into my life. And I remember the day he hadn't been feeling well and was going to the doctor to get some tests done. And I remember he showed up on a Wednesday night, and myself and another staff member, we were just waiting to kind of hear what was going on. And I remember when he told us that it wasn't good and that he had a brain tumor. I remember walking back to my office and sitting down and just weeping. Because I didn't understand the magnitude of what was going on. I didn't trust God enough, and I was just sad. But one of the things that came out of this moment is that Mike fought hard for about 13 months. But it wasn't that he was fighting cancer. It was about how he was fighting to proclaim the gospel to the very end. And I remember talking to him at one point, him and his wife. And I'm a young guy, and I'm trying to come to grips with what's happening. And I remember him saying, "I have taught people my whole life how to live by faith. Now I need to teach them how to live by faith, whether in the face of death. I need to show them how to die." That is living by faith. He wasn't worried about him. He was worrying about others knowing Jesus. And so the same can be said of Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. Because of the blessings that God bestowed, right, we see that faith continued to be passed on from generation to generation. Isaac blessed both of his sons with wisdom and truth. This was the same faith that Abraham had passed on to him. We see the same from Jacob as he was dying, Jacob blessing his son through his grandsons. And that same faith that had been passed on continued to be. And Joseph spent all of his adult life in Egypt. At this point, he was the fourth generation of God's promise, yet to be fulfilled. But he had faith that it would happen and his people would be freed. How patient are we to wait on God's timing in our life? These three believed when it wasn't easy to believe. Their journeys were all riddled with failures as well as success. But at the end of life, we see their true character. We see how real that faith was for them. John MacArthur says, "A Christian who fears death has a serious weakness in their faith. For to die in Christ is simply to be ushered into the Lord's presence. For to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Death is swallowed up in victory." Church, I pray every day, even amongst my failures, which are many, that I represent Mike Hurt well because of what he passed on to me. How often in our day-to-day do we stop to bless others by speaking truth into their lives and offering up prayers on their behalf? How often are we doing that in the lives of our families? Or do we find ourselves too busy? So then we move on here to Moses. We now see the second of two of the more prominent figures in the Old Testament, right? Because Abraham received the promise and Moses received the law. And from Moses' life, we see two features. That one, he was no ordinary child. I know we all may think that about our kids, but Moses particularly was no ordinary child. And that he lived with no fear. Our faith should conquer our fears. Our faith should conquer our fears. The more we live in faith, the more of our fears fade away. We see that fearlessness continue as Moses grew up, leaving the comforts of his living situation and instead living among the people of God, which was a life of suffering. Like Abraham, Moses was called on by God to step out in faith. Think about this for a moment. Moses stepped away from luxurious living to live in poverty and to be treated poorly. How do you think that decision was viewed by those around him? By the Egyptians? By the Israelites? There was this realization for Moses that material things don't last, but the spiritual treasures do. We see here in verse 26, and I want to focus on this for a moment, where it says, "For he considered reproach for the sake of Christ to be greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, since he was looking ahead to the reward." So we can ask ourselves this question: how could Moses endure for the sake of Christ if Christ hadn't come? It's not a bad question. Because the implication here that the writer of Hebrews is making is that by identifying with the people of God and sharing in their hardships, Moses identified also with Christ, who sacrificed all and experienced the ultimate in hardships. And also that Moses placed complete trust in the promise of God, knowing that he would redeem them one day. Church, I don't know about you, but that is hard to imagine. To be in that position where you're being told, hey, I need you to believe this, but you're not going to see this come to fruition while you're alive. That's a hard thing to believe in. And that's exactly why we have these testimonies. Because that is, by definition, what our faith is. And so Moses is an example of this to us. And during all of this for Moses, right? He, by faith, left Egypt because fear did not dissuade him. He, by faith, instituted the Passover and preserved his people. He, by faith, crossed the Red Sea and stayed protected. Think about the obstacles ahead of Moses in these instances. You're looking at this large body of water and the water's split, right? And it's like, hey, just go ahead and walk through there. You can be like, thanks God for doing that, but I'm terrified to just walk through there with these. But by faith, his faith overcame his fear, and he lived by faith in a God he could not see. What a lesson for us in this. And we continue here, and he says, also the faith of the Israelites. Because though Moses led the people, the nation of Israel displayed faith as they traveled through the Red Sea. And Moses' faith surely probably inspired them. And you may be going, well, Josh, didn't they complain a lot? Yes, they did. Pretty much constantly. But that's really no different from you and I, right? But there's still a level of faith here. Their faith was also a stumbling block, as we would later see them, right, quarreling in the desert. And then they end up having to wander, right, for that disobedience. But by faith, the people of Israel would also go on to win battles, endure persecution, and eagerly look towards the promise of their forefathers. We see Joshua stepping out in faith as he led the people to circle Jericho for 7 days. Can you imagine what that looked like? Hey, Joshua, I just need you. I know you're like a warrior, but I just want you to circle. That's all you're going to do. Okay. You sure you don't want me to go to battle, right? You sure you don't want me to fight anyone? Just circle. Because, guys, sometimes in our attempt to be faithful, we try to interject a little bit of our own, right? God says, hey, I need you to do this. Okay, God, I will, but I'm also going to maybe add this twist onto the end. How's that sound? And God's going, no. I just want you to circle. And in Joshua being obedient and doing what God had called him to do, it was this monumentous moment that helped lead to moving forward of the promise. Because when we think it might be a little crazy or impossible, God can do what we think is impossible. And that brings us here in chapter 11 to Rahab. Because by faith, Rahab had heard the mighty things of God. And instead of rejecting the Israelite spies, she welcomed them, assisted them, and returned them safely. James 2:25 says, "In the same way, wasn't Rahab the prostitute also justified by works in receiving the messengers and sending them out by a different route?" Her work showed her faith, and she would become a part of a lineage that would bring about Christ. We don't get to sit on the sidelines. We don't get to look at situations and go, I'm going to stay out of it. When it pertains to the work of God, we have to be involved. Well, God, I was in the last situation. I just need a break. It's not how this works. Many have stepped out in faith. And we see as chapter 11 comes to a close of six other faithful servants, four of which are from the book of Judges, all of which sacrificed greatly. And we see a little bit from these moments, right? We're not going to dig into each of them, but God accomplishes on behalf of those who sacrifice faithfully, right? Because in Daniel 6, he shut the mouth of the lions, right? He quenched that raging fire. There was an escaping of being killed. There was gain of strength and weakness in Isaiah 38 for Hezekiah, right? King David was mighty in battles because of their faith that was produced by God's righteousness. And there was also this horrendous persecution. There was torture and mockings and scourgings, imprisonments, being stoned to death. Even it says here, right, being sawed in two. Joseph and Jeremiah were mocked, beaten, and imprisoned. We see that in Genesis 39 and Jeremiah 20. And though it's not mentioned in the Bible, Jewish tradition holds that Isaiah met a horrendous fate by being sawed in half. Great sacrifice was met through extreme faith. Our obedience through faith should result in sacrifice. Abraham's faith showed us that what we are often looking for is proof. How do we know if someone has faith? Abraham exhibited proof by his willingness to give back to God everything he had. Even the son of promise that he received because of his faith in the first place. There was this realization for Abraham that everything he had was because of God. And that everything he had was God's, including his son. Parents, do not forget this, that your children are God's first. They're on loan. How willing are we to view things in our lives this way? Because by these examples, we see faith is powerful. Faith accomplishes the impossible, and faith sees what we cannot see. The sad reality is that some faith is all talk and never leads to action. True faith is all about action. And to see this play out in our lives, it almost always requires sacrifice. We must remember this life is not our own, that we have been bought and paid for by the blood of Christ. And you may think that's crazy. Why would I want to believe anything that means I'm owned? Because you being bought means you were bought from something. And that something is eternal condemnation. Hell. And trust me, we should rejoice that we have been bought by the blood shed by Jesus. Christ did not come to make bad people good. He came to raise the dead to life. So remember, this life is not yours. This world is not your home. And for us to think our faith does not result in sacrifice is to have our focus completely off. Galatians 6:14 says, "But as for me, I will never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The world has been crucified to me through the cross, and I to the world." This is all about Jesus. For us to think it's about anything else is to have our priorities very misplaced. I don't know for many of you, but if you can, if you came to know the Lord later maybe in life, can you remember that time before him? What that was like? Because I can. I remember the moment that Jesus came into my life like it was yesterday. And I remember the change that took place. And trust me, he's been trying to perfect me for a while now. But, and will continue to do so. But those are the things we must dwell on. Because we know what it's like without him. And church, there's a world out there who doesn't know him. And so if our focus isn't on him, if we are not boasting in him, what are we boasting in? And what distractions are we creating for others? But we need to take a page out of Paul's book and boast solely in the cross. Church, if you seek to follow Jesus, if you desire to serve him daily, your life must be one of sacrifice. As I mentioned at the beginning, even though there are people out there that will preach a gospel that does not include sacrifice, you can't avoid it if you read the Bible. And as we will see, eventually, in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, it says, "Then he said to them all, 'If anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me.'" Taking up our cross means to sacrifice. Jesus' act on the cross was of monumental sacrifice, the most ever. And we are to exhibit that daily in our lives. And so think about what that means. How do you sacrifice daily? And I'm talking like significant sacrifice, right? Not, "Well, Lord, I skipped Starbucks for you this morning." If you did, I'm good for you. But I'm talking really, truly, meaningfully sacrifice for him. And if you're like, I don't know. What do we need to do to make that happen? Does Christ's sacrifice encourage you to take up your cross daily? Does it encourage you to sacrifice? Because do not be mistaken, the testimonies we have seen the last two Sundays were founded in faith that resulted in obedience and sacrifice. These servants from the Old Testament were approved by their immense faith shown by that sacrifice. Even though they didn't receive that promise in their lifetime, but believed in the promise of God that something better was in store for them. And that was the sacrifice of Jesus. Sacrificing for Christ is much harder than probably we even realize. Right? As our flesh, our sin, continues to yearn for what we want. Not only are we torn to even surrender to follow Christ in the first place, but our lives are riddled with distraction, desires, opinions, worldly thoughts that say to us, sacrificing to follow Jesus isn't worth it. Because many think, I can be a believer in Jesus. I can believe in what he did, believe he is the Savior of all, he's the risen King, but still see no need to sacrifice daily. We have been numbed to the things of this world. We get so caught up in earthly culture that we have in many ways forsaken our eternal culture. We complain, we ridicule, we critique. We want to say, church, this world is in desperate need of Christ. We do not have time for such things. Oftentimes, we can think that things are worse now more than ever. Do not be fooled. Sin is sin and has been since the moment humanity fell. How arrogant of us to think that it's worse now than ever. Do we realize that God still reigns? That he is still active in our world? That he has already won the battle? Do not be mistaken here and think that there is anything we can do in the grand scheme of things to make it better, except focus on the one that makes life possible. Surrender to him, focus on him, worship him, let others see him in you. Sacrifice is an essential part of our faith. It connects us directly to Christ in the most intimate of ways. And when we surrender to him and focus completely on him, the worldly distractions to Christian living become irrelevant. This is just a side note. Probably about a month ago, maybe a little longer, I got rid of Facebook. Who's on Facebook? I became feeling very convicted of the time I waste on Facebook. I'm not saying it can't be useful, but sometimes we need to make tough decisions and get rid of the things that are distraction for us. And I'll tell you now, I haven't missed Facebook yet. Continue to pray I don't. Because Galatians 2:20 reminds us, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. But the first part of this, though, to being able to sacrifice, to being able to be obedient, is by surrendering your life to Jesus. If you're sitting there this morning and you're like, I don't know if I know Jesus. Trust me, if you know Jesus, you know him. It's the most important thing you will ever do in your life. Because of our sinfulness, because of the way we are, he came, he lived a perfect life, and he went to the cross to die for our sins so that we would be forgiven. Through grace, we have been saved. If you've never accepted Jesus, I want to implore you to seek someone out this morning. You can come talk to me. Any of our elders who are here would be more than happy to speak with you. Please do not put off for tomorrow what you can do today. Hebrews 13, verses 15 and 16 says, therefore, through him, let us continually offer up to God a sacrifice of praise. That is the fruit of lips that confess his name. Don't neglect to do what is good and to share, for God is pleased with such sacrifices. The testimonies of others before us should urge us to live more obedient and sacrificial lives for Jesus Christ our Lord. Why? Because our faith, our life rather, must be rooted in our faith in Jesus. I think this from last week still applies. It says, we care far too much what others think of us instead of letting the gospel of Christ motivate us. Do not stop fighting to sacrifice for Christ. The cost was great and has continued to be great by those that have fought to proclaim this before us. The testimonies of Abraham and Sarah, Moses, Enoch, Noah, Rahab, the prophets, the reformers. By faith, we must keep this message going by our obedience and sacrifice. This message of hope, the gospel of Jesus, it's worth proclaiming and it's worth sacrificing for. I'm going to tell you, if there's a moment this week where you're like, you know what, I'm going to not do that because I need to talk to someone about Jesus, do that. Cancel whatever you got going on and go share Jesus with someone. We all have that someone in our life. They need to hear this message. Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is our King. Jesus is better than anything that this world has to offer. Jesus is better. Let me pray. Father God, thank you for your sacrifice that gives us hope. That through grace that you gave us, that because, Lord, you know that we deserve condemnation. But you loved us so much that you sent your only Son so that we could be redeemed to you. Lord, we praise you for that this morning. We thank you for that. God, I pray that we are motivated by the testimonies from your servants. Lord, I pray that we're motivated by the testimony even of others in our lives who are servants of yours. Lord, that this world is in need of your gospel. And Lord, we are those messengers. Lord, I pray that we never lose sight, that we never lose focus on that mission. God, invoke our spirits. Lord, I pray that we leave this place ready to do battle, ready to share the hope found through your gospel. God, I pray for each of us as we go out this week that, Lord, that you work through us, that your spirit moves in our lives and gives us the perseverance and the stamina to do this, to share your love with others. God, we are so blessed by you. Lord, I thank you for our time this morning. I thank you for your word that speaks absolute truth into our lives. Lord, I pray now for Pastor John as he's recovering. Lord, I pray that your hand is upon him and heals him quickly. Lord, we are so thankful for him and everything he means to us. He is your servant, Lord, who proclaims the gospel each and every week, and we are thankful for that. Lord, you are good. You are a good, good Father. We praise your name this morning. Amen.